From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. There are some new movies out in the theaters. We'll tell you what to watch and what not to watch. Plus, one of TV's best comedies is signing off for the last time. So here to help us figure all of this out and what to watch is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, let's start with the fact that there's going to be some new movies coming out this weekend, and I'm hearing some are good, but George, maybe skip one or two?
That's exactly right. Now, so okay. I'll go through real quick a list, and one of these movies we just talked about my last visit, and that is Wicked Little Letters, which opens this weekend. That is a don't miss movie. That is, you absolutely have to go to see that movie. It's a wonderful true tale of poison pen letters, which we've talked about. One Life with Anthony Hopkins is still playing. Definitely you want to see that. Dune 2, which is the sequel to Dune 1, if you remember, that was a Best Picture Oscar nominee. Dune 2 is as good, if not better, than the first one. You absolutely want to see that. But the number one movie at the box office here in North America and around the world is Godzilla X Kong. And I have to admit that I actually kind of like the Godzilla Kong franchises, but this is god-awful. I mean, it's so bad. It's oh my gosh. I think this would be one of those rare instances where I would ask for my money back. So even if you do like the franchise, and I will openly admit, guilty pleasure, I kind of like the Kong and Godzilla movies. This is so, so bad. Do not go see that movie. Let me tell you about a movie that will open next week, which I think will be one of the most controversial films of the year. It is a film, it may be under most people's radar, but within a couple weeks, everyone's going to be talking about this movie. It is called Civil War, and it previewed just a few weeks ago at the South by Southwest Festival, and the audiences there went crazy for this movie. It is a drama from filmmaker Alex Garland. He is the filmmaker who gave us 28 Days Later and Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. And this is a dystopian future of America where and this is a serious drama. The president of the United States is a third-term president, and as a result, there is secession in the United States, and some states have created their own military and are mounting a takeover of Washington, D.C. Also, all journalists are considered criminals and are ordered to be arrested, if not shot, on sight. So imagine this. It is not a comedy. It is very serious, but it is about division, and it is about division in America. And that, I think, is why it's getting so much attention. I'm going to play you a short clip of this film. Again, it's called Civil War, and in it, you will actually hear a soldier he's got the barrel of his gun pointed right at the head of a journalist who is on his knees. And the journalist is saying, "Hey, I'm an American." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, what kind of American?" And it gives you a chill unlike any other. So let's listen to a few seconds from a movie that, folks, you probably are going to have to see this. It's called Civil War.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
bless America.
You know, Gemma, you think about movies from a generation ago, movies like Red Dawn, which would dramatize, for instance, a Russian takeover of America. This movie is about America, like parts of the country breaking up and certain states attacking the nation's capital in an effort to arrest the president and a military coup. In other words, America against itself. And there's something about this that rings way too true. It is called Civil War. It will open 1 week from Friday at the Flicks.
I tell you, George, that preview just was eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch gears a bit, George, because one of history's greatest songwriting duos is getting a special honor. Can you talk to us about this?
Indeed. It's the Library of Congress honoring Elton John and Bernie Taupin. When you think of the songbook that these two geniuses have put together, and by the way, let's think back to that wonderful movie from a couple of years ago, Rocket Man, right, that told the true story of how they met. And Bernie Taupin has been somebody who's actually just, he doesn't like the limelight at all, but the genius of his words with this, you know, the melodies that come from another place, right? For instance, where does a song like Your Song come from? Where does a song like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, what universe does that come from? And you can only think of the geniuses like, Richard Rodgers and, the great, Billy Joel, right? The great songwriters of our time. And here they are. And Elton John has said, this is the greatest honor that has ever been bestowed on them. Here's a man who's won the Oscar for writing The Lion King, right? He's won the Tony for writing Aida and Billy Elliot. He's won every Grammy possible, and he's Elton John. But for the Library of Congress to say, please come, we'd like to honor you, and come this Monday night on public television, a number of artists, including Joni Mitchell, Brandi Carlile, Maren Morris and Annie Lennox are going to be singing the songs of Elton John, and he's going to be there with Bernie Taupin. So I did a little bit of research. I found a clip from 1971, a film.
Wow.
Here is a young Elton John, and what we know is that Bernie Taupin would just write lyrics, right? He'd go off and write lyrics on the back of napkins or little pieces of paper, and he would just give them to Elton John. Elton John would sit at a piano with these words, right? And he would just try to put melodies together. This actually captured on film the moment that Elton John puts together these interesting words about a ballerina, right? And it's like, what do I do with this? And obviously what came out of it was Tiny Dancer. So let's listen to this really rare clip.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, the words, blue jean baby, LA lady, seamstress of the band, pretty eyed pirate smile, you marry a music man, ballerina. As soon as you get the word ballerina, you know it's not going to be fast. It's got to be sort of gentle and sort of quite slow. So, I mean, like, the way it's written here is a verse, it's a chorus or a middle eight and a chorus, then another verse. I just sort of ran it through and put two verses together, then a middle eight, then a chorus, and then back to the sort of verse sort of thing. It happens very quickly. It sounds long, but it sort of starts off. Blue jean baby, LA lady.
And of course, here it is, Tiny Dancer, full orchestration. It's a classic. You think of the Elton John songbook, you have to think about Bernie Taupin. And these songs are the songs of our lives, right? And it's such a magical moment for them to be honored by the Library of Congress. It was captured for television, and it will be airing this Monday evening on Idaho Public Television at 8 p.m. Do not miss this. It will take you back generations. For those of us who remember when Goodbye Yellow Brick Road actually came out as an LP, that it will really tug your heartstrings. It's pretty amazing stuff.
I love that, George. Okay, so you say there's a new docudrama that's actually coming to the small screen?
It is. It's called Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, which is a very unassuming title. But when this aired in the United Kingdom, it created a firestorm. This is the true story of, well, let me give you a little background first. In the United Kingdom, citizens can purchase post office franchises. So instead of the post office running all their individual little offices around the country, citizens can buy a franchise and operate their own little post office, right, in their neighborhood. And so and a lot of retirees would do this. It would be their supplemental salary. But in the 1990s, I think it was the 1990s, it could have been close to 2000, all of a sudden the number of these citizens at the end of the day, their numbers weren't balancing. And the post office was saying, you owe us thousands of dollars. And it turns out that they said, no, my numbers are right. And the government came after all these people and actually pressed criminal charges against all of these folks, many of them retirees, until finally the media got wind of this. This story is not unlike All the President's Men. So think of that. So this is called Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. And when it aired in the United Kingdom, there was such a firestorm across the country that Parliament got involved and said enough is enough. And they have now, just in the last couple of weeks, instituted new hearings and investigations into this scandal. Let's take a listen.
Post Office computer system is faulty.
If you lose money, you repay it.
The Post Office are suing us for £26,000.
This is the biggest miscarriage of justice in British history.
It's the story of a bunch of little guys taking on one of the biggest government corporations.
The gathering together of hundreds of sub-postmasters to fight back against the Post Office's abhorrent behaviour towards them.
People don't really understand just how Machiavellian this was.
Hundreds, if not now thousands, of people had their lives ruined.
Post Office Limited does not accept any of the allegations that are being made.
The Post Office had invested a great deal of public money in a brand new computer system.
They would be adding all their stuff up at the end of the day, and it wasn't tallying. These figures started getting completely out of hand. They were told they were the only people having a problem.
It can't be a system error because you're the only one. And of course, they weren't the only one. People found themselves in massive financial debt.
Savings down the pan.
And every single one of them was innocent.
Every single one was innocent. Lives were lost. Some people took their lives. This is one of the biggest scandals you've never heard of. And I got to tell you, when this aired in the UK, the viewer response was so fierce that they demanded that the government say, okay, you need to step in and make good for all of these people. And reparations are probably going to be given to many of these people. But again, a number of them have died since. It is called Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. And public television in our country has purchased this four-part series. And I hope that a lot of people will catch up with this. It will start, part one will start this Sunday night on public television. It will be, I think, a water cooler program. People are going to say, did you see this Mr. Bates versus the Post Office show? Wait till you see this. Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. It starts Sunday night on public television.
Okay. And George, before we wrap up, is it really true we're saying goodbye to one of TV's best comedies this weekend?
This Sunday night, it's the final episode, so we're told, of Curb Your Enthusiasm. After all these years. And by the way, many of us are still talking about last week's episode when Bruce Springsteen guested and Larry David gave Bruce Springsteen COVID. And it's like, oh my gosh. Anyway, here's a clip from last week's show. I thought it was hilarious when this man comes up to Larry and says, oh, don't you remember me? Well, take a listen.
Larry, good to see you again.
Again?
I'm sorry. I do this all the time. I forget that I haven't told people. It's been like 20, 25 years. I used to work at Universal when you were at Seinfeld, and I used to be Kendra, and now I'm Ken. Remember Kendra?
Kendra Morris?
Kendra Morris, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Larry and I used to hook up. Let's just say it. Let's just say it.
Sure,
it's no big deal.
Yeah,
it's no big deal.
Sure. We do with Kendra, yeah.
We had some great times.
Yeah, good times, good times.
Only Larry David, right? And it's this great take on transitioning, but it was hilarious. I will desperately miss new episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. The final new episode, the final will be this Sunday.
Oh, well, as always, George, it is such a pleasure to have you on to tell us what to watch and sometimes what not to watch. It's just been a pleasure.
Lots of variety. Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks, George. We've been talking to our resident movie critic, George Prentice, who spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition, talking about what to watch this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.